Welcome to the Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
Today we're going to talk about Allied United's magnificent grand final victory on Sunday, where both Rick and I attended. And quite personally, it was a real sporting highlight for myself.
Well, I would totally agree with you. I've seen many sporting events in my experience and lifetime, and I don't think I've seen anything better. There's no doubt about that.
And being able to see your home state win a national title in Adelaide, it doesn't happen that often. It can't happen in the AFL.
No, that's very true. And I think the other thing is that I was totally surprised by the suitability of Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, I've seen a few games there against Liverpool and last year's semi-final against Brisbane Roar, and every time sort of, it doesn't matter where I sit, I get an excellent view of the game.
Yes, I think the new Adelaide Oval has contributed to that. I've seen quite a lot of other sports, rugby, soccer and hockey at Adelaide Oval under the old regime and the old grandstands, and you certainly didn't get the view that we were lucky enough to get on Sunday.
Of course, home ice stadium, it's cosy. It's the best place to watch Adelaide United play, but that only takes about 15,000 people, so it had to be played at Adelaide Oval. Well,
there's no doubt about that. It's just very sad that Hindmarsh was not thought about in expanding its size, because it is a soccer stadium. It's, I guess we'd classify it as a boutique perfect stadium for probably any home and away game that's not going to drag in more than 10, 12, 13,000. I was totally surprised with the suitability of Adelaide Oval, actually.
Yeah, at Hindmarsh, you're sort of on top of the players. You feel like you can almost reach out and touch them, whereas at Adelaide Oval, you are apart from it. But the view, the extended view of being able to see everything is just magnificent.
I think you've summed that up perfectly. I can remember seeing minor Olympic game at Hindmarsh Stadium, and it was very similar to the old Adelaide Oval. You could look at the background, the Adelaide Hills and the atmosphere of being so close, as you've said. But Adelaide Oval has done us proud.
And then as we travelled down here from Gawler into town on the train, it was about half full when we started, but by the time we got there, it was chock-a-full and a sea of red.
Absolutely. Just as well that they're all Adelaide fans, because probably in England they'd have been on two separate trains. But it was the atmosphere started basically when we got on the train.
And there was already a jovial mood. Everyone seemed to be happy. Everyone seemed to be joking around. There seemed to be a real sense of expectation.
Yes, and I think that's similar to the AFL crowds when there's games on at Adelaide Oval and you catch the train. I think one of the things that you can say, which is incredibly complimentary to the organisation, whether it's the government or the councils or whatever, is that the encouragement of people to use public transport by giving them a free ride is a wonderful way of getting people into the Adelaide Oval and then again out.
Oh, absolutely. And then walking across the bridge, seeing the people hawking the T-shirts, getting involved in the colour around the ground. We walked from the southern end to the northern end and took in all the atmosphere of, it was like a party atmosphere, but that sense of expectation, you kind of felt that, you know, there was something special about to happen.
I couldn't agree more. It's almost as if it was Europe arriving in Adelaide for the day. There's no doubt that many of our, as it were, people who've arrived in this country, be it now two or three generations ago, certainly do know how to celebrate and how to party and how to enjoy themselves, be it particularly on the music scene or the sporting scene. And I think over the years they've taught us a lot of good tricks.
For sure. And then getting into the ground, obviously they had the security checks, which was a bit surprising later when we saw the flares and that. But I suppose they can't check everything, but they checked our bags. And the only disappointment I had was I saw all the paraphernalia, but I really loved the programs that you can buy when you go to these big events. But there was nothing there for sale at all.
Absolutely staggering omission, I believe. It is just incredible to think that no matter where you go to any other sporting event, dare I say the local Barossa Light and Gawler football or whatever, rock and roll shows, there's always souvenir programs. And to think that you had 50,000 people there, you know, if you'd had a souvenir program, you probably would have sold 30,000. If it was $10, there's 300,000. And not to have that, to me, is an incredible oversight from Soccer Australia.
Perhaps it's the new way of doing things. Everything's online, et cetera, et cetera. But there's nothing better than sitting down with your program and, oh, who's that? And then you quickly look at your program and you see the details about that player and you see the photos. I don't think your telephone can quite relay that feel about being at a special game.
Absolutely correct. I just find it very difficult to understand under any circumstances how they didn't have a program. And I guess we'll never know, but I'd like to think that if we get to another final next year that something might be done.
And how were our seats? We were in the Western Stand around 313 over there and looking over the match. The view was just spectacular, looking straight at the scorebook and the cathedral, and we could see everything on the ground.
It was one of the great sporting experiences of my life. I don't think I've ever seen, apart from the magnificent view which enabled us to see it, I don't think I've ever seen more colour and more movement at a sporting event prior to the game starting and then continuing throughout the game. The number of flags waving and at the northern end, the Western Warriors flags, it was just a spectacle beyond spectacles. I know Port Adelaide have their scarves a la English soccer and will never tear us apart, but this was a different experience altogether and a noise volume which was astronomical.
Oh, it was. And of course, the Wanderers fans, they were stuck there on the northern end, as you're saying. They were holding their scarves up while the Adelaide United fans, which were all around the ground, but the main cheer squad as such seemed to be behind the southern goals. And they had their flags and they had their, where they all pointed their arms out in synchronisation. It was just, it sent shivers down my spine.
It did. And I was trying to explain to a couple of other people that I almost understand now how soccer crowds seemingly, unfortunately, sometimes get out of control, that the singing and the rhythm and the chanting, it almost becomes a hypnotical state. And I guess if things go right or wrong, depending on whose point of view it is, when a goal scored or something, a free is missed, that they're in such a high level of excitement that they can get carried away just that bit too much on occasions.
And as for the pre-game, it was good to see so many kids involved. You know, there was one kid for every player that came out, and there was people involved in the band and holding up the banners. And of course, wasn't the national anthem really well sung? I mean, she was dressed to a T, but I didn't catch her name. It was lost a little bit in translation who it was, but she was magnificent.
Absolutely perfect performance. Unfortunately, the television was doing their pre-match and actually missed the very start of the transfer and the announcement of the girl who sang the song. But she did it on her own with no accompaniment. And as you've just said, she was dressed immaculately. And it was a perfect start to what finished up being a perfect sporting afternoon.
Yes, and then of course, while we were there, the game itself, it was brilliant. Every goal was magnificent, all four of them, the three by Adelaide and the one by the Wanderers. And, you know, that first goal, which came about the 22-minute mark when Marcelo Karuska, he ran down the wing, he passed it off, he got it back, and he did that magnificent cross for Bruce Kamau to come in and just shoot it through. And then when Kamau went off and celebrated, and he did that little leap in the air and they went over to the fans, it was just first class.
Well, it was. The textbook goal, it really was, because it was the ball down the wing, and as you've described already, it was taken right in close to the goal line, and then the perfect left foot cross, Kamau perfectly timed and slotted into the net. It literally was perfect, and to happen so early in the game at the 20-odd minute mark, 22 minutes I think it was, meant that it basically set the game on fire because it was too early for Adelaide to choose to play defensively. And it was the old proverbial, you know, you've got the wheelbarrow in front of you for the Wanderers, that they had to play attacking football to try and play catch-up.
And, of course, when Esaias took that free kick and he killed it round, I don't think there's a goalkeeper in the world that could have stopped that one.
Absolutely. I mean, it has been described as a world-class free kick, and that's absolutely true. I mean, I guess when you're coaching soccer and people who take free kicks, you're going to say, well, you know, you're going to go for the top hand, left hand or right hand corner, and that's precisely what happened. I don't think if the goalkeeper had been 10 feet tall, he could have stopped it. It was very few times, and it's overused sometimes, very few times as anything genuinely perfect, but that really was the perfect free kick.
It was, and of course, Osiris kicked that in the 34-minute mark to make it 2-0, which held up to half-time. And, you know, there was a lot of a good feeling around the place. I mean, 2-0 up, it sort of looked like all they had to do is hold their nerve and they were going to win the game.
Yes, I think that's probably the biggest reason that the game reached the heights it did, because unlike a game in the minor round, the Sydney side had nothing to lose, right? They might as well go down 10-0 as to go down 2-0. And so they had to choose to play aggressively, and in fact that's what they did, and they pulled back one. But that didn't solve any problem either, because they still had to get another one. And so sometimes soccer can be very defensive and very dowdy, whereas this game, because I think it was set up with the first goal at 22 and then the free kick second goal, it resulted in an absolutely attacking game throughout. And as a spectacle, I don't think I've seen a better game of soccer, actually.
No, it really was. You're spot on with that. I remember when I saw Adelaide United and Liverpool, that was a very defensive game, and Liverpool won it 2-0. And I went away there feeling that, you know, it was just, why play that defensive? But this was the opposite. It was open. And when Neville scored in the 58-minute mark for the Wanderers, I was on the edge of my seat. Anything could happen. And we were in a position where, you know, you felt like maybe they could come back and make it 2-0 and force extra time.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt about that, because they were playing aggressively, and as I said earlier, because they simply had no other choice. There was no point in them playing defensively because they're behind. It was fantastic. I mean, there'd be a lot of... there's always debate over offside, it is infinitesimal, some of the millimetres or centimetres involved, but... In fact, Adelaide scored again, which was disallowed. So it could easily have been 4-1 there. And there are a lot of experts who claim that second-to-last goal, which was in fact a goal, but that's history and it doesn't really matter now because it didn't change the result.
And then of course, super sub Pablo Sanchez come on at the 86-minute mark, and there was a lot of headers going on, and the ball fell his way and his feet, and he got through the traffic, and he put home a beautiful goal to seal the result at the 90-minute mark.
Oh, he certainly did. And it's remarkable that he seems to have this incredible knack of... I wish I could play soccer for 10 minutes and get as many goals as he seems to get. But it's reading the ball. He did it superbly. And it was a very, very clever goal, the last one.
Absolutely. And you know, we were talking about the crowd before. There was 50,117 people there, plus you and me.
Yep. And we were the two that were most important, is that right? Not really.
No, it's all good. And then, of course, afterwards when they, you know, they made all the presentations and the players got their medals and the captain gave his speech, the goalkeeper collective, and then they had the trophy, which was his round trophy. And some people described it like a toilet bowl, which is a little bit unfair because it looks really nice. And then the best player was Isaiah, and they did their laps of honour. They had the fireworks and they had the red streamers, and it was just no one could. I reckon it's the first time I've been at an event with that many people, and 10 minutes after the game, hardly anyone had left.
Exactly. The people who you mentioned very early on, the Red Army, the true loyal Adelaide United fans who were at the southern end, and there were thousands upon thousands of them, and not one of them moved, I don't think. And I guess it's slightly different to trying to make a comparison with an AFL game, because as you said, there's never going to be a grand final at Adelaide Oval. And so the thing I liked was that both sides stayed on the ground. The runners-up received their medals, even though it would be very disappointing for them, particularly since that's the third one they've lost. But it really was conducted very, very well.
Yes, it was. And it's interesting you were talking about they were, it's their third time runners-up. Well, it would have been Adelaide's third time runners-up because it's their first championship. And I remember that they lost to Melbourne Victory, I think it was, 6-0 in a grand final. And Eugene Galakovic, our captain, was on the opposition at that stage. And now he's on our side as a captain. And it must have been a big thrill for him to lead Adelaide to a title. And it was amazing when you saw him dressed in his purple gear as a goalkeeper, and the opposition goalkeeper was dressed in green, and then the red and the white and all the colours. It just seemed to match.
Look, I couldn't agree more. I think for most people to win whether it's at this level of sport or at church netball level, whatever, to actually win a grand final is an amazing experience, which is in very, very hard to describe, and very, very few people experience. There's many very successful sports men or women who go through a 10, 15 year career and never experience even getting to a grand final, let alone winning one. So it's something you'll never forget. Fortunately, in my case, I've been lucky enough to be in two, one at District A grade level and one at Sheffield Shield level, but you remember them.
Oh, absolutely. And one thing that sort of I'm still thinking about now is as everything sort of sinks in and we're walking across a bridge with the crowd, it was just unbelievable sharing that space with people who had the same mindset of being happy and remembering the game and celebrating in their own way. There was singing, there was chanting, there was politeness. It was just a really happy mix. And then walking through the station, it was like just one big party.
It was indeed. And I guess it's always good to be on the winning side, but I was very fortunate to be sitting next to a young guy, probably late 20s, early 30s, who'd moved to Adelaide. He was originally from Sydney, and he confessed to me, we were having a wonderful yarn actually, and he confessed that he was actually supporting the Sydney side, which I can understand, but there was no animosity, and it was a very happy party-like day.
It was. I mean, obviously there was the busted up seats and the flares which come from the northern end, and many people said that was the Wanderers. But, you know, other than that, which was a minor distraction, fantastic day. Just would love to experience that again.
Oh, I would love to experience it again as well. It's a fascinating concept that the least of all physical football codes seems to create. As I said, I think because a goal means so much as against, you know, 10 or 20 are kicked in AFL or whatever, or a number of points in rugby, that unfortunately soccer crowds occasionally do get carried away and damage not only themselves but property as well. And probably that's the one negative out of the whole occasion experience.
Well, thank you very much again, Rick. I thoroughly enjoyed your company on Sunday at the game. And until next time, this is the Rick and Rob Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.